We're glad that you came, and I tell you, this is Wednesday night, and so we can just come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, each one of us. And as we come before him tonight, we can leave here and say, praise the Lord, I'm glad that I went to the house of God on Wednesday night. Now, I tell you, I appreciate the good singing tonight. I'm glad it's grace. Oh, when we've been there 10,000 years, that's a blessing. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But, you know, that's a great song and all of the good singing tonight. And we're glad that you came to be in the service. How many of you say, preacher, I've heard you on the radio, and it's the first time I've ever seen you in person? Raise your hand. Anybody we have tonight? All right, God bless you. I used to ask how many folks is disappointed, and a lady raised her hand one night. I said, I won't make that mistake again. But we're glad that you came to be in the service. Now, as I said, it's Wednesday night. My, a week will slip away. I was telling the good pastor, we need to really pray and get ready for these next nights. And you need to get to the place where you say, Lord, I can't wait to get to the church. I just want a blessing. I want you to do something for me. And if you'll feel like that, God will do something for you. You know, it's not what God's going to do for me tonight. It's what God's going to do for you. And it's not, as far as I'm concerned, what God's going to do for you. It's what he's going to do for me. And I'm glad that we came expecting. And if you come expecting, why, you'll receive something from the Lord. Now, tomorrow night is Thursday night. And I believe Thursday night, Friday night, will be packed pew nights. And I'd like for us to pack them out. Amen. I'd like for us to bring out some chairs or put them in the balcony. That'd be good. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And so you pray about it. But let me announce some subjects real quickly over in the week. For instance, Saturday night, the Lord willing, I want to bring you a message why Jesus did not come in 1988. There was a man that wrote a book, and I got a copy or two. I think he sent me two or three copies. He thought I needed really to be convinced the Lord was coming back. And he wrote that book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord Would Come Back in 1988, but he didn't come. And then he narrowed it down to September the 11th, 12th, or 13th. And a lot of people, I know a young man in Atlanta that's been, well, he's been in the youth meetings around the country and camps, working with young people. And he was so convinced that the Lord was coming back on either September the 11th, 12th, or 13th, he quit his job. He went to see all his people, tried to get them ready. But the Lord didn't come, and he was a disappointed young man. Now, if you'll be here Saturday night, I'll tell you three reasons why he could not have come and show you from the Word of God at that time. Now, he can come tonight. He can come in the morning. He can come tomorrow. He can come. But when man goes to setting dates, and you be here Saturday, then I'm going to give you five things that'll never happen. You say, preacher, how do you know they won't? They'll never happen. You be with us Saturday night for that service. And then Sunday morning's a great morning. I tell you, we're going to pray that we'll have 50 people saved Sunday morning. Now, the only way we can have 50 people saved, first we've got to pray, believe the Lord, and then we've got to get them here. And if you'll do that, I believe we can see 50 people saved on Sunday morning at 11. Then we'll come back at 2:30, and we'll have the great broadcast rally service. My wife said if the Lord ever comes at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon, I'll say, wait, Lord, till we have this rally service, and we'll come on in. But I want you to be here because I have a message for you. I believe it'll help you. I was awakened this morning, got a paper, discovered about the satanic worship right down in Texas across the border there in Mexico. The drugs, all of the sadness that went along with it. The young boy from the University of Texas. And I tell you, it's sad. They know they have at now 14 victims where they were mutilated, parts of their bodies scattered. Blood was on the parts of the building, and it's satanic worship. Now, here's something I didn't know. 90%, they said, on the news, the people that are going into Satan worship are in the dope traffic. Now think about that. 9 out of 10 that go into that devil worship are now into drugs. And you know what they've talked about, even in the presidential campaign. What are we going to do about drugs? Well, if we don't get folks to God, there's not much we can do about drugs. Young people want to experiment. Young people want to try these things. And we need them to come to Jesus. And if they'll ever try the Lord, they won't have to worry about drugs. But I'm going to speak Sunday afternoon on Satanism, devil worship. And I learned something else. Those people that were in the drug traffic down there, according to the newspaper, your Johnson City paper this morning, said these words. They thought by worshiping Satan, they would be protected from the law. They'd be protected from the enemies. Now, let me say this to you. My friends, dope traffic and demon worship and Satanism and the occult, witchcraft and all that mess, mister, you better beware of it. You better beware. I know a precious lady in Atlanta now, and her daughter's in that Satanism. And, well, it's a tragic thing. So you come Sunday afternoon, 2:30, bring your Bible, because even from the beginning, Satan has wanted to, desired. I mean, it's been in his plan to have somebody to worship him. And if you'll read your Bible in Matthew 4, he said, fall down and worship me. He said that to Jesus. And I'll give you all the kingdoms. Well, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And we need to say that. But Sunday afternoon, I'll bring you that message. So I want you to have your Bible. And I want you to come Sunday afternoon, hear the message on Satanism. We have some Satan churches in Atlanta. Terrible, terrible things. And I've never been in, but you can just pass down the street in front of that thing and you can feel demons, actually feels like demons crawling all over you. Now you'll want to come Sunday afternoon and be with us. I was with one of the finest preachers. His daughter hadn't gotten into demon worship, but he's one of the finest preachers in Greenville, South Carolina. Just a few weeks ago. He's very precious. He has 4 children. One, he's never had any trouble out of at all. I mean, that son is fine. He finished elementary school at Bob Jones, then high school, and now he went off to the Army, and he's back, and he's in college there. Fine boy. But the other 3 children he's had trouble with. I remember 11 years ago, I was called when I was up in North Carolina, the meeting to come. His youngest daughter was brutally murdered. And then I left him the other afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, after a 2:30 service. I went to Alabama the next Tuesday. Wednesday morning, my phone rang, and my wife said, Brother Ed's daughter died of an overdose at 6:15 this morning. And I called him, and he said, Preacher, I knew, said she's 39 years old, I knew that there was something wrong. Said she couldn't get off of an overdose. She spent over $500,000 on dope and waste in the last 2 years. I want you to come Sunday afternoon. 90% of the people today that are involved in Satan worship are also involved in drugs. And we need to hear the truth and what the Bible said. So you be here Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Now, quickly, I'm going to speak to you tonight from a Bible character. If you'll put yourself in her place, let me tell you something. You'll never be the same. Her name is Esther. There are two women in the Bible, books of the Bible named after. One married a Jew and one married a Gentile. But this little girl named Esther is a real book. And in a minute, we're going to turn to it, and I'm going to tell you how to find it, because preachers used to give me a reference, and they'd be through reading the scripture before I ever found the book. It's between Nehemiah and Job. There are 10 chapters in the book of Esther. And I want you to look in that. Boy, listen, it was a time of trouble, and it's a time of trouble today. People, I want you to know there's more trouble in this world than you've ever dreamed. Trouble in every avenue of life. Job said that man is born of woman few days and full of trouble. You're going to have trouble as long as you're in this world. If you're a Christian, you're going to have trouble out of sin and self and Satan and the world, because you're not of the world, and so there's trouble on every hand. Now, we're going to read from the fourth chapter of the book of Esther. I hope you can find it. But remember, it's between Nehemiah and Job. So when you flip through the Old Testament, you can find it easily there. And we're going to read out of the fourth chapter. It tells us about Esther. I want you to stand with me all over the house real quickly. And we're going to read the Word of God. Then I'm going to bring you the message tonight. Esther chapter 4. We'll begin reading with verse 10. Read down through verse 14. The Bible said, verse 10, chapter 4, the book of Esther. Listen as I read. And again Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Now notice, and all the king's servants and the people of the king's providence do know, and whosoever, and listen, providence, whether man or woman shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there's one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in and into the king these 30 days. Now look, I'm going to show you something here before we read on. This is Esther talking here. She said, Mordecai, you're my uncle, and I'm not going in that inner court. I'm not going into that holy place, they say, that only a man or woman who's invited by the king can stand. Because if anybody came into that inner court, they died without an invitation. They never got out of there. And Esther said, Mordecai, I haven't for 30 days felt the least little inclination about going in. Now notice what the Bible said, verse 12, and they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there come enlargement, deliverance, arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I want you to underscore these six words, for such a time as this. Here's a young girl, and the Bible says, this verse 14 gives a secret, for such a time as this. And in just a moment, I'm going to speak to you on that subject, for such a time as this. I don't believe I've ever seen a time like we're living in tonight. I don't believe I've ever witnessed a time. Of course, I know God's still on the throne. I know the Bible's still the Word of God. I know that we can live for Jesus and be happy and have victory. But the Scripture says in the days of Esther, for such a time as this, Esther. And she confronted that. I'm going to show you there are 10 chapters. And I'll give you a summary of this book. And if you have your pencil out, after we are seated, after we pray, I believe the Lord will bless your heart. Would you be seated all the house, and would you bow your head for just a word of prayer? Our Father, we thank thee tonight for every blessing. Oh, how wonderful it is to come back and enjoy the Word of God. How we thank you for that song, Amazing Grace, Abundant Grace, Satisfying Grace, Saving Grace. Oh, what a blessing to know that it'll save a wretch, and it did save a wretch like me. Thank you tonight for the joy that we have and knowing the Lord Jesus, and knowing that we're in the plan of God. Thank you for this great church and this wonderful pastor and everyone that's come this Wednesday night. Now, Lord, you speak to every heart. There's a mother here. That mother needs to hear the Word of God. There's a dad here tonight. He needs what Esther says in the book of Esther. And then, Lord, there's a young person here, oh, maybe in the same category of Esther, mockery and hatred toward the Jews. Now I pray now that you'll speak to us. If there's one here tonight that's never been saved, Lord, if there's one here that's just a church member or a person that's trying to cover up sin, who's never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ. I pray this will be the night. And then, Lord, draw us close to thee. Give us a burning love and a compassion for this lost world. Help us to love thee first. Oh, that we might love thee with all of our hearts and all that you do for us. We'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way tonight. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject, for such a time as this. Now, these were the words of a little lady named Esther, and she faced a time of hatred. I mean, in the days of Esther, they hated one another, especially because she was a Jew. They hated the Israelites in the land of Persia. Let me say that the Israelites were in bondage. They were taken out of their homeland, Jerusalem and Palestine, and they were brought into Persia. And when you see that, it's a spiritual paradox, because not only do you have great hatred in the book of Esther, you have great love. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to show forth love. I was talking to a couple of men here to church today, how we need that love that reaches out, that love lets men know that we've been with Jesus. Jesus said, men will know ye my disciples if you love one another. But tonight, I want to give you three of the characters by way of introduction tonight in the book of Esther. We'll take three. There are really six, but I'll take just three and then get into the message. Number one, there's a man named Mordecai. And Mordecai was a spiritual hero. Boy, I like that. They looked up to him. The Bible said he cried with a loud voice. Oh, that we had spiritual heroes today. Our young people know all about TV stars and movie stars. But brother, we ought to teach them about Daniel and about the great heroes of the faith. We ought to teach them about men today that love the Lord Jesus. But this was a spiritual hero. His name was Mordecai. Bible said a few things about it. Said he set it to gate. And the people knew when they passed him that he feared the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to say about a Christian. He fears the Lord. He loves the Lord. Second thing about Mordecai. The Bible said he cried to the people. Oh, how we need somebody today to cry to the people. But there's Mordecai. Secondly, you have a man named Haman. Haman, the Bible says, was a wicked man. You know why he was wicked? He hated God's people. I want to tell you something. When you get saved, you'll love the children of God. Oh, I believe that one of the greatest evidences that we're born again is the evidence that we love one another. Some of you have conflicts in your family and maybe hate in your family. How can you claim to love Jesus and you don't love maybe your own family? Or maybe you don't love your own brother. I tell you, it's sad, but here's Haman. The Bible calls him wicked, and he hated the people of God. And then number three, quickly, there's a little girl, a young lady, a maiden called Esther. And she was little, but God can take little, and little is much if God is in it. God doesn't have to have the big things. He can take a shepherd's rod and open up the sea. He can take a little lad's lunch and feed the 5,000. I say to you that Esther was just a little nobody, and God made us somebody out of her. Aren't you glad for the book of Esther? But the Bible said in verse 14, for such a time as this. I want to mention five things about the time of Esther, and I want you to write them down. It was a time when grace was a stranger. All they heard was the law of Persia. Beloved, listen, by grace are you saved. I'm glad, thank God, for that amazing grace that can reach down and pick up an old sinner and change him and save him, and he can know the Lord through the grace of God. You don't know the Lord through the law. the law's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You don't know the Lord, mister, by reformation, rehabilitation, or education. I'll tell you the way you know the Lord. The way of the cross leads home. And when you see that you need Christ and you're lost and without God. But in the days of Esther, grace was a stranger. There's one cry I heard in Persia. It wasn't grace. It wasn't God saying, I love you. It was the Persian law that said, no man can break this law and get by. Now that's the way it is with God's law. You don't break the law and get by. And you say, preacher, have you broken that law? Sure I have. But I met one day that kept the law for me. And praise the Lord. It's called the grace when it's transferred from a poor old sinner to the saint of God that knows the joy of living in grace. It's a blessed thing. Now notice something I want to show you. I want to show you how strict it was and the laws of Persia. If you'll turn in your Bible, you get home to Daniel chapter 6. The Bible said he was in Persia. And the scripture said, the law said, you'll not pray to any other God for 30 days. You'll not bow your knee to God. But I'm glad that old Daniel had a habit 3 times a day. He'd go to his window, raise that window, and he'd pray to his God. They put up posters and they said, the law says you can't pray. If you do, you'll have to be thrown into den of lions for all night session. But old Daniel just kept right on praying. They came and they took him and they put him into a den of lions. Now, the law of Persia was he had to stay there all night. But when dawn came, if he could overcome the lions in the night, he could be set free. I want to tell you how he overcame the lions. The Lord sent an angel down, locked the mouths of the lions. All night Daniel walked in praise, or maybe he slept. But listen to me, that king that said the law will judge you couldn't sleep that night. You know what he did? He walked and he said, is it daylight yet? And finally when dawn came, they went down, and you know what was in front of that den of lions? A big stone. And on that stone was a seal. The king broke the seal. The king rolled back the stone. And he said, Daniel, thou that serveth the living God, are you still alive? Old Daniel, I can hear him say, praise the Lord. He's been with me all night. And when Daniel came out, he had satisfied the law of Persia. You say, but that's, listen, 1900 years ago, for every sinner that had broken the law of God, they nailed Jesus to the cross. And when he died upon that cross, they took him down, put him in a tomb, rolled a stone up like they did to Daniel, put a seal on it. But I'm glad 3 days later, on that first Easter morning, the seal was broken, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus came out and said, grace instead of law and condemnation and hell. I'm glad he brought grace down to sinful man. What a wonderful thing. Listen quickly. The Bible said in John chapter 8, a woman had broken the law. She was caught in adultery. She was a wicked sinner. And they came down and handed Jesus a rock and said, you know what Moses said? Stone her. And Jesus stood there. And you know what Jesus did? He didn't pull the law out on her. He offered her grace, for he knelt down, and the Bible said he wrote on the ground. And when he finished writing, he looked up and said, he that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. But oh, listen to what the book said. Then he stooped down and wrote again. And when he looked up, he said, woman, where art thine accusers? And she said, I have none. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I want to show you something. I'm going to tell you, and I've read every commentary I could ever find. I'm going to tell you what Jesus wrote on the ground. I believe this. When I get to heaven, I believe I'm right. I believe when he first stooped down and wrote that day, he wrote, justice is called. The law's been broken. She ought to die. But I believe when he wrote down the second time on that sand, I believe he wrote, but mercy has answered and grace has come to her rescue. Aren't you glad tonight that the grace of God came to your rescue? You ought to be in hell and I ought to be in hell, but I'm glad the grace of God wasn't a stranger to me. Over in the mountains of North Carolina when I was a young man, I heard him preach on the grace of the living God. But in the days of Esther, grace, number one, was a stranger. Number two, it was a time when goodness was evil spoken of. Let me tell you, it's still that way. You live for Jesus. You go to the plant tomorrow and you tell them that you are born again. You tell them that you don't smoke and dance and cuss and live like the world. And you know what? Your goodness will be evil spoken of. They'll call you a redneck. They'll call you old-fashioned. But they can call me what they want to. I'm glad. Praise the Lord. I have no goodness, but I have his goodness. Nothing in me that's good, but he's good. Amen. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. Pilate said, I find no fault with him. They never could. They never can today. You can find fault with the church. You can find fault with the preacher. But brother, you can't find fault with him. Thank God. I'm so glad. You know what happened? The king was Xerxes. I'm not going to talk about that, but he gave a party. He called his wife in. She was very beautiful. Her name was Vashti. And he said, take off your clothes. And you know what she said? I'm not going to take off my clothes. And her goodness was evil spoken of. She said, I'm not going to be like the rest of them around here in Persia. I'm not going to be indecent. I'm not going to present myself indecent. And you know, they expelled her. She was exposed to the world as one where her goodness was evil spoken of. It's always been that way. When you get saved, I remember when I got saved and I came back and some of my family didn't understand. They said I was going crazy over religion. No, religion will keep you out of jail, but salvation will keep you out of hell. And they didn't, some of them know the difference between religion and salvation. And one of my uncles said he'll run by heaven. No. I'll be able to slow up when I get there. Praise the Lord. But are you listening to me tonight? Always goodness has been evil spoken of. You say scripture, all right. Joseph, just quickly, let me show you something. Joseph was evil spoken of. Boy, everywhere Joseph went, they spoke evil of him. But did you know he never talked back? He never criticized. Only one place in the life of Joseph that he ever asked for help even. Boy, if it had been me in that jailhouse after he was lied on and that woman screamed rape on him, listen to me. He didn't say anything but to the butlers. The butlers going out said, when you get out, remember me. Oh, but Joseph, his brethren hated him. They conspired against him, the Bible said. And the word of God teaches they hated him. Listen to me. Your goodness will be evil spoken of. Let me come to one other. He's the only perfect man that ever lived. And you know what they said about him? He eats with sinners. That's all they could say about Jesus. They did say he's a gluttonous man. They lied on him. They wanted to talk about his goodness. And to cap it all off, he came out of the house of a Pharisee after he'd eaten, and they said he's a friend of sinners. You better thank God that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Oh, I'm glad he loves sinners tonight. If he hadn't loved sinners, where would I be? If he hadn't loved sinners, where would you be? So first we see there grace was a stranger in that time. For such a time, secondly, we see goodness was evil spoken of. And then number three, in the 10 chapters of the book of Esther, the name of God, great name of God, could not be mentioned. Oh, listen, they couldn't talk about God in school down in Persia. They couldn't call the name Jehovah, Elohim. Oh, they couldn't say we know God. And my mother used to say when I was a little lad, she'd call me up and say, Mays, his name is Jesus. breathe his holy name in prayer. And it works, folks. Tomorrow, when everything's going wrong on your job or in your home, mother, while you're cleaning up the house, if you'll just breathe that holy name, just say, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. I want to tell you, it'll do something for you nothing else will do. Just breathe that holy name in prayer. Now, in the book of Esther, there's only one other book in the Bible that the name of God is not mentioned in. I imagine you know, but I'll tell you in case you don't. The Song of Solomon, the name of God is not mentioned. But in the book of Esther, that great name of God could not be mentioned. Oh, what a tragic thing it is to live in a country where you can't mention the name of God. America's about that bad. Said that your little child couldn't bow his head in the lunchroom in the public school system and say grace over food. Mister, we're in bad shape in this country, whether you recognize it or not. I want you to know, they don't want you to talk about Jesus. They don't want you to talk about the Bible. We have a school down in Atlanta, boy, and they're having a time. Bunch of the high school kids got saved. They're praising God in the halls, and they're running up and down telling about Jesus, and they don't know what to do with them. I got news for you. Nobody will know what to do with those kids. They got saved. And brother, listen to me, they mention his name, but in the book of Esther, they couldn't mention his name. Philippians 2 said, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Did you know there's something about his name? Oh, there's something about that name. Genesis 17, listen now. The Bible said for 25 years, God hadn't kept his promise to Abraham. The Bible says in the first three verses of the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, God said, let me just tell you my name. He said, I'm almighty, which means El Shaddai. I'm more than enough. I'm glad he's El Shaddai tonight. That's all you need to know, that your God is more than enough of anything that you need. Look in the scripture. Well, like this. Moses was a Baptist, you know, made excuses. But he's standing out there, and the Bible said this by the burning bush. And he said, Lord, I can't go down there to Egypt with those 600 chariots. I can't go to Egypt. I'm just a poor little Israelite. But if they ask me your name, what can I tell them? You know what the Lord said, Moses, tell them the I am of the I am sent you. Not the has been or the will be, but tell them the great I am is still on the throne. And the I am of the I am is sending you. Let me give you one other place in the Bible where it mentions that name being powerful. They took Peter and John, Acts 4, they beat their backs. And they said, there's two things you guys better not mention when you get out of this jail. One of them was the resurrection. Did you know without the resurrection of Jesus, hear me, it's the chief cornerstone. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. But rising, he justified freely forever. Praise God and the Lamb forever. But I want you to see something here now. I want you to see something. They said, don't mention this. Don't mention that resurrection. And said, be sure don't mention that name. We don't like the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We don't want you to mention that name. We're going to let you out of jail. If you'll read Acts 4 and verse 12, Simon Peter didn't get out of jail good. Found the first street corner he could get on, raised his hand, and said, there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Oh, there's no name like the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said if you call upon his name, he'll save you. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in the day of Esther, it was a time, number one, it was a time when the grace of God was a stranger. The law was the emphasis there. It's a time, number two, when goodness was evil spoken of. It was a time, number three, is a time when the great name of God could not be whispered. Number four, it was a time when the gallows of Haman spoke and said, no hope for you Jews. Every one of you are going to hang. Oh, listen to me, and I won't have time to get into this, but Hebrews 6:19 said, for which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. If you've got cancer tonight, you have hope that you'll get well. Are you listening to me tonight? If your home is divided, you're praying and hoping that God will put it back together again. Men cannot live without hope. You've got to have hope. Oh, you can't live without hope. We was talking about a good preacher friend, the pastor and I, and he's got cancer. But if he ever gives up hope, he's gone. He's gone. And let me tell you something, as a Christian, I'm glad we've got that blessed hope to live, and that hope is to stabilize us, and that hope is to send us out. In fact, it'll do three things for you. It'll cleanse you. If you have this hope, it'll purify you. Secondly, oh, it'll comfort you. It'll comfort your heart. A lady came up to me and last Sunday, she said the greatest preachers that ever preached in this church, Brother Mays. And I said, I've heard of that. She said, my husband, the last sermon he preached was on the resurrection of the body. And she said, I placed him out here in the red hills of West Virginia, but said, there's a day coming and I'm comforted by it. And the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God shall sound. And then those that are asleep, I've got a little mother over yonder asleep tonight in body. I got a dad over there sleeping in his body, not his soul. There's no such thing as soul sleep. But this old body's tired and weary. One day it'll sleep. Oh, till that morning of that resurrection when the Lord shall come. What a blessing that's going to be. Now listen to me. No hope. No hope. It was a time. It was a day. It was an hour. Listen to me. When the gallows of Haman said, no hope. Now here's something you won't find in your Bible, but if you'll study Josephus, he says that those gallows were right in the middle of Main Street. And every day those Jews had to pass the gallows. You talk about a holocaust. Man, you talk about depression. Every little Jewish mother walked by and said, one day, I don't have any hope. I'm going to hang on those gallows. Every Jewish dad, every son, every daughter passed that. And if Jewish blood ran through their veins, they had no hope. But oh, I'm glad. Thank God, Jesus Christ. He is my hope. All other ground is sinking sand. We have a hope tonight that'll stabilize us. We have a hope that Jesus will take care of us. We have a hope that we can trust in God. But it was a time. Listen, the gallows. Now let me mention a last thing quickly, and I'll spend a little more time on this. Not only was it a time when the gallows spoke no hope, but it was a time when a girl, you know, that's odd, isn't it? A girl. Why didn't God take old spiritual hero champion Mordecai and get the job done? Oh, that's not the way the Lord. He wants you. You say, but I'm not important. He wants you. And here's a little girl. A girl. A girl. And Mordecai said, they tell me for 30 days you've been pondering about this thing. And if you look, and I can hear old Mordecai, listen to what he said. He said, your mom was a Jew. Your daddy was a Jew. I'm your uncle. I'm a Jew. You are a Jew, Esther. And you know if something doesn't happen, we're all going to die. She said to him, what do you want me to do? And he said, wilt thou go? That's exactly what God's saying to every person in this house tonight. wilt thou go? Now watch this, I want to show you something. And Esther said, I will go into the inner court. I read you about it. She said, I'll go in there. But you haven't been invited. They'll kill you. The king. Mordecai said, when the king comes in, he'll have a scepter in his hand. When he tells you to pull that veil up, oh, if you pull that veil up and he's not pleased, he'll drop that scepter. They'll drag you out of there, a dead girl. And little Esther looked at Mordecai and said, I'll go. And if I perish, I'll just perish. She said, I'll go in the garden. And then I'll go in and stand in that inner court. And I can see Mordecai begin to cry. And he watches her go down in the garden. She went down in the garden and came out. When she got up to that inner court, she dropped that veil. She knocked, and somebody said, maybe one of the guards said, who knocks there? And she said, a maiden, a Jewish girl. He said, did the king invite you to come into this inner court? And she said, nay. He said, he'll kill you. But come on in, he'll kill you. Little Esther stood there, and I imagine on her lips she kept saying, if I perish, I perish. And the guard goes and said, King, there's a Jewish girl in yonder. You didn't invite her. That king takes that scepter. He walks in there and stands in front of that little girl named Esther. And he says, pull up your veil and let me see thy face. Can you imagine the fear that was in her heart? Can you imagine that little girl as she reached down and pulled that veil up slowly? And when she got that veil lifted, you know what that king said? He said, I'm not dropping the scepter. I'm going to hand it to you. And anything that you want, I'll grant unto thee. And she said, I want my people saved. Oh, she said, I want the deliverance of my people. You know when we'll see our people saved, when we become like Esther and say, if I perish, I perish. And Paul said, I could go to hell over my kinsmen. Oh, he said, I could suffer that they could be saved. Have you got a daughter tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a son? Do you have children? Do you have a companion? Do you have grandparents? Do you have aunts, uncles, and cousins that do not know the Lord? Some of you heard me tell about my uncle. I want to give it to you. I never paid the price to get him saved. He's in hell tonight. His body's lying over yonder in the cemetery in the hill. But he loved me very much. But he never got saved. And when they called me in Pennsylvania, I was in Pennsylvania in a meeting, and they called me and said, your Uncle Jack died. Oh, let me tell you something. It was terrible. Terrible! I want you to know I've been to that grave many times, and I've stood there, and the tears have streamed down my cheeks. And I've said, I let him slip through my fingers and die without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say to you tonight, Esther said, don't worry about me. I'll perish if I have to, but I want my people saved. I want my people delivered. And praise the Lord, I'm glad God delivered Israel. And this little girl saved Israel that day. Are you willing to say, Lord, whatever you say to me, I'll do. If I perish, I perish. But I'll do what you want me to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all eyes. You study the 10 chapters, the book of Esther. You'll find that Grace was a stranger down in Persia. You'll find, beloved, that goodness was evil spoken of just like it is around Gray. You'll find if you study, the great name of God could not be mentioned. you'll find the gallows of Haman cried no hope. Folks, how could you leave this church without hope tonight? You that know not the Savior, how can you get up in a moment and go out here and gamble with your soul and live and die and go to hell? Little Esther said, I'll tell you, Mordecai, I will perish if I have to. I'll die that my people may be delivered. My, what a statement. A little girl, not a spiritual hero, but a girl God laid his hand on. A girl stood in the inner court and said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to ask you some things tonight. Then we're going to stand and going to sing. Number one, I want to ask you, how many of you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die tonight, you'd go to heaven? By that, you're saved, and you know you're saved. Slip up your hand. Let me see it tonight. I want to see that hand. Just hold it up. Just a moment. God bless you. What a wonderful sight that is. All right, I want you to take your hand down now. God bless you. I want to talk to you that are saved, but you couldn't lift your hand, or if you did lift it, you shouldn't have. Because I'm going to ask you this second question. You say, Brother Mays, I'm saved, but I failed the Lord. I haven't been willing to go like Esther. I haven't been willing to do what God wanted me to do. Brother Mays, I haven't. I wanted my way. I'm saved, but